Couple of more weeks before we finish with our missions offering. We started back in October 1st, and it goes through December 31st, where you've been supporting four missions groups. That is Annie Armstrong offering for North America, Lottie Moon offering for international missions, Mary Hill Davis for Texas Church Starting, and then Union Baptist Association out of Houston in the greater Houston area. I just want to thank you for that. This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to give you a verse that I want you to remember, a verse you may not like, because it can be controversial. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. As we talk about joy today, and as we look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Paul, as he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, a very strong and healthy church, he points out one thing. He says three words to them. Always be joyful. Isn't that an easy verse for everybody to remember today? Always be joyful. And as we talk about that, I want you to understand that joy means you have strength from God to face anything. Because it's God living in you. You have joy. And that means that joy comes from God. You know it. It cannot be taken away from you. So let me give you some examples. One, I have joy because there's a God. That there is a God. As I look at Psalm 14:1, some of you this Christmas week may be seeking and asking questions, but Scripture says this, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. And that phrase before, you've heard me say time after time. It means God sitting on his throne, and in the spiritual realm, there's no other gods in front, behind, above, below, to the right, or to the left. In the spiritual realm, there's only one God. Now, he reveals himself as Father, Son, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, what we call the Trinity. But there's only one God. And I have joy because this God's alive, he exists, and he desires to have a relationship with me. I have joy, secondly, because this God that I've just described to you is my everlasting Father. 800 years before Jesus was born, a prophet named Isaiah said this in prophesying to Hezekiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." And our God does have four other names. What are those? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But I want you to think about this. I have joy today because the God that I serve is my Everlasting Father. And he will never give up searching for me, pursuing me, wanting to have that relationship with me. I have joy, thirdly, because God lives in me. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That the moment you trust Christ as Lord and Savior, he begins to live in you. Notice this in Romans 5:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, who raised Jesus from the dead? The Father. He who raised Jesus or raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And so, God lives in me. And then now I have the power to change. I have the power to say no to the things of this world. I'm not at war with the world because I choose not to sell my soul or my belief system with the world, but I have joy. Why? Because you can take away everything, but you cannot take away the fact that God lives in me. The fourth thing I want to say is that I have joy because God will not allow death to keep a hold on me. Did you hear me? The moment we die, death does not hold on to us. We belong to God. Notice in that same verse, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, boy, that tells us right there, Jesus came, Christmas, the first Advent. He came to do what? To give us atonement, forgiveness of sins so that we may live. He brought Jesus up from the dead. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Now that I know that Christ lives in me, I know that death does not have a hold on me. I have joy, and that joy cannot be taken away. The fifth thing I want to say, and the last thing I want to say over this introductory, some of y'all thought I was finished. I have joy because I can be used by God to fulfill His plan. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That as sorry and as rotten as I am and you are, God wants to use you in His plan. Notice this in John 15, 7. Jesus says this, "In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away." You see, angels do backflips and cartwheels celebrating when you and I trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you're so important to Him that when you trust Jesus, it turns heaven around and upside down, celebrating. And so joy is something that cannot be taken away because it lives in you. And it's not because of your circumstances, it's because of who God is. Now, I want to share with you this morning some shocking truths that will bring you joy. I want us to talk about some of the characters that are around the manger, the birth of Jesus, and how they struggled and how they had joy. The first thing I want to say is joy is here. Have you ever gone like to an amusement park or you're in a mall or somewhere and there's that map and it has a dot with an arrow and it says, "You are here"? That's where joy is. Joy is not some distant place that you have to go to get it. It is right where you're at because God is here. And let's look at the story of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. It says that night, shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Can you imagine this? They're watching sheep during the day. You know, that's pretty boring. Can you imagine watching sheep at night? That's even more boring, of course, for the occasional lion or wolf that comes in. And then, you know, they're half asleep. And then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Joy has come to them. And it freaks them out. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And what they understand and what you and I need to understand is where you're at right now. God is with you. And He has joy for you. You just got to say yes to Him. The second thing I want to say about joy, not only is joy here, but joy is sent. We like gifts, don't we? You know, some of you are getting Christmas gifts, a couple of you bags of coal because you've been naughty. I really thought y'all would laugh at that, but y'all didn't. Okay. But joy is sent. What do I mean by that? God sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. And joy is sent because joy is in Jesus Christ. And when He lives in you, you have joy. And the angel says this, the Bible in Luke chapter 2, still with our angels. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize Him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." And so what we see is that God has sent joy. And angels are scratching their head and they're going, "Hold on, there's a sign." And we pick up in verse 17. "After seeing Him," that is the infant Jesus, "the shepherds told everyone what had happened, what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story was astonished." Why? Because God is now coming to us. And He brings joy. He brings good news. So joy is here. Joy has been sent. But joy is also a journey. Not for God, but for us. Because as we grow in Christ, as we understand more about Christ, the stronger joy is in our life. Notice in Matthew chapter 2, we're talking about the wise men, magi. Not kings, but wise men. We don't know much about them. We say three wise men because we know of the three gifts, but actually there were more. But that was the three gifts. We're not for sure. But it says this, when the Bible says in Matthew 2:10, "When they," that is the magi, the wise men, "saw the star, they were filled with joy." I went back, I was translating this passage and was looking at that word joy. You cannot even begin to explain joy. the excitement, the joy that these guys had when they saw that star that they'd been studying, waiting for. And joy, as an English word, they didn't even come close to explaining the happiness, the excitement, the peace, the hope, the power, all of these elements that bring joy to our life. And as we think of joy being a journey, these magi had to travel distant. Why? In order to find joy. And it came in the person of Jesus Christ. And as I think of joy, I know some of you today are searching. And you need to understand, joy's here. It was sent by God. But for you and I, it is a journey as we go through struggles and through hurts. In Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, the psalmist writes this, "Crying may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Amen? Joy comes in the morning. It's like that phrase. Well, he was crucified on Friday, and it was silent on Saturday, but Sundays are coming. Sundays are coming. And what is Sunday? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And guys, without Christmas, there's no Easter story. And we celebrate Easter, and we celebrate Christmas, because it is the story of God's love for you. And some of you today are hurting. God knows it, but He has joy for you. And you have to understand His love for you, be able to grab hold of it and ask it. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 16. "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." And this is joy that the world cannot take away. The world can take away your jobs. They can do all sorts of things to you. But what they can never, ever do is take away the joy that you have because of who God is and that He lives in you. As I think of Psalms, a very beautiful chapter over our book of praising, "Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for His name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven." And when you think of God that big dwells in you and you dwell in Him because of Jesus Christ, we have joy this Christmas season. But joy is also scary. Do you know why it's scary? Because we have to change. The only people who really like change are babies with dirty diapers, amen? We don't like change because we don't like things to get out of our control. But for Jesus to bring joy to us, we have to surrender and we have to realize there are scary times, there are scary moments, and we have to live by faith. A third character I want to talk to you about in the Bible this morning is a little-known prophet named Simeon. And he lived in the temple waiting to see the Messiah. Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus to be circumcised and dedicated at the temple. And Simeon's there and he sees him. And he says this, "Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'This child is chosen by God for the destruction,'" meaning that those who say no to him will be knocked down. "He's coming to change the religious atmosphere." Remember, you know who killed Jesus were the religious leaders. And so he's going to change everything. And if you have false gods in your life, being money or desires or whatever you want, he's got to crush those things before he can become Lord and Savior and King of your life. And when that happens, notice what the Bible says. "And the salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God, which many people will speak against." We see that today. "And so revealed their secret thoughts. And sorrow like a sharp sword will break your own heart," referring to Mary seeing her son being crucified. Joy is scary because there's unpredictable things. God knows what's going on because He's God and He's controlling everything and He's blessing. Joy, as being scary, means that God's still in control. We know it. He still blesses even we don't understand it or don't see it. He is moving. But the last thing I want to say about joy this morning is that joy is scary. Let's talk about Mary for a moment. Can you imagine being a teenager and an angel said, "Hey, you're fixing to be pregnant with no man"? And you're going, how can this be? Mary responded after being told she's going to carry the Messiah. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will be called me blessed. But then, if you look at the same chapter in verse 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. And when God is coming into your life and you're ready and willing for him to come into your life, it gets scary because he's going to bring change in your life. And not only does it get scary, it becomes difficult because you realize you've got to make some changes. But you don't have to do it by yourself. You can do it with the power of Christ. There's a beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 12. And, you know, this afternoon I'm doing a funeral. And one thing, people in heaven don't see what's happening here on earth. They're in the midst of God, and they're worshiping him. They're consumed by the presence of God, and they're worshiping him. Secondly, since I'm on this topic of false theology, when we get to heaven, we don't get wings. I don't know who came up with that, but we're more powerful than angels when we get to heaven. We will be judging angels, okay? All that matters to me, as long as I'm with the presence of Christ in heaven, buddy, that's heaven. But if our saints could look down at us, our loved ones who are in heaven, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, things that are of the world, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And of course, in Revelation, it says, I see God and I see the Lamb that was slain sitting on the throne. Jesus is God. But the point that I'm trying to say is that joy is a difficult choice. Jesus made a decision to die for you. And he gave up everything in heaven to take the form of a man to be the atonement for our sins. And now he said, I need you to make a difficult choice. If you want joy, I think I just invented a new word, Judy. If you want joy in your life, you're going to have to turn to Jesus. And it's a difficult choice because there are some things you're going to have to leave behind. You know, many of you know my story, that when I rededicated my life to Christ, you know, two things happened. One, he brought a beautiful woman into my life, and I realized this was God's love for me in the flesh, and that was my wife. And when she proposed to me, I said yes. But second thing God did, he showed me his friends. Friends that didn't care what I had, but it was friends who've been friends for life now because of our relationship with Jesus. Joy is a difficult choice. Joy is scary. Joy's been sent. Joy's here. Joy can change your life if you trust Jesus. Last verse I want to read to you this morning in talking to you about joy. John 15:11. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that you can have, notice this, the same joy I have. Wow. Standing on a rock, regardless of what comes your way, you know, God still sits on the throne of heaven. And if he wants you to go through a difficult season, he's still holding your hand. He hasn't abandoned you. You can have the same joy I have so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. Like the things the world gives to you today, it's only temporary. Short-lived, and you'll feel good about yourself for a moment, but then you're going to have to pursue and chase something else to have this joy. Joy only comes by Jesus. And it's a joy that's not based on how you feel. It's stable because it's God. And the Bible is very clear about Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But this Christmas season is a gift. And you have to open that gift. And when you open that gift, it's Jesus. But have you ever had a gift that you open and it was another box and you open it and there was another box? Or when you open up Jesus, there are more gifts. Joy, peace, hope, love, Holy Spirit power, life change. But you have to make a difficult choice today saying, I don't want the things of the world anymore, Jesus. I want you. And I know I can have your forgiveness. I can have your peace. I can have your joy that regardless what happens, you're there for me. Guys, at some point, you and I are going to die. One out of one people die. Why? We're all sinners. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. And then you know what comes next? It's called judgment. You're standing before the Lord. I won't be able to hold your hand. Your mama won't be able to hold your hand. Your spouse won't be able to. It's just you and God giving an account. Now, here's the good news. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, God's going to say, come on in, my faithful servant. Come and be blessed. Now, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ and death comes, Father's going to look at you and all he sees is sin. And he's going to say, depart from me to hell that was prepared for Satan, death, and his followers, demons. Guys, I want you to go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. That's why he sent his son to die for you. Will you make that difficult choice today and say yes to him? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this morning, the decisions that have been made to follow you in baptism, to share their testimony. I also pray for those that are here who haven't made that decision. You know who they are. Father, I pray that they would ask you, if you're unsure of your salvation, if you want to trust Jesus, would you let this be your prayer? Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave to have power over death and everything. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? I know the Bible says if I ask for forgiveness, you'll forgive me. Jesus, I surrender to you and I follow you every day for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hear our prayers of recommitment and also for salvation, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing with our praise team, How Many Kings?